That's something that God has wanted since the beginning of man. Now, we put the verses up there. I may hit them hard. I may skim over them. Like I said before, I'm a special commodities relocation engineer. I know how to get on interstates. I know how to accelerate and decelerate. So you're just going to hang on if I go too fast. 46 hours. Okay. Hey, I know Brother Steve said that I'm going to probably be the jokes, but I was looking for a cane with a hook to get to Richard so he can pull me off here if I have to. But my purpose statement today, my message is avatar. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. As we think about the Word of God and how it should apply to us today, we can glean from it, grow from it, and by all means take it to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share and show with you about God, the Creator, has an avatar. And I know it's not a biblical word. It's a religious word. And he uses Adam, Noah, Israel, himself, and the body of Christ. But Satan, also, the god of this world, has gods too, and kings, and ministers. And the definition of avatar is mainly it's Hinduism. And it's manifestation of a deity or released soul in a bodily form on earth. And if you think about that, has anybody seen the movie Avatar? 2009. You know, it's still the highest grossing film to date. And in the movie Avatar, there's a group of Navi humanoid creatures that inhabits a place called Pandora. And the man on Earth is mining minerals there, and they're pushing away the grounds that they have. And in science, they figured out the way of reproducing their species. So they take human DNA and the Navi DNA, and they create an avatar that resembles their own. And there's a little G there, little God, that selects a savior that happens to be a man from Earth, and he becomes a Christ-like figure to them. Now, I probably don't have to tell you what Hollywood does and many other people do with counterfeiting the Bible and with God's creation. And they're doing this by imagination, vain imaginations. And they can run wild, can't they? They have many things over decades to enhance the reality of everything by using technology. I'll be the first to tell you, I love technology. Okay? I love it. I love the advancement of waiting 5 days for a bill to come in the mail. You can go paperless and get it instantly. Letters. I still enjoy getting things from Grace School to Bible in the mail. You know, just opening it up and reading it. It's nothing like having your book in your hand, is there? Compared to having electronics. But if you notice, there's some downfalls with that too. Instead of waiting 5 days to get the mail, you get it instantly. Texts, phones, and all. You can sit with your phone in your hand today, sit at your computer, or put on a pair of goggles and create a person that will imitate your emotions, your actions, your things beyond a normal person can do. You know what AI technology is? You're hearing it more and more. Artificial intelligence. It is here today, and it's kind of scary. They can imitate you. They can duplicate you. Everything you do is put in a form that will speak for you, act for you, and you don't even have to be there no more. So it's very, very things, very, very scary times we're in. So if you think about the definition of avatar, the manifestation of a deity and a released soul, a bodily form on earth, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Since Brother Morris is not here, we're going to Genesis. Okay? That's where you find the beginning. You know, ever since I graduated from Grace School Bible, 2004, and we started our church in 2005, I've been teaching the curriculum of Grace School Bible in our church. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some gods and ministers and imitators of God's Word. I believe in order to continue in sound doctrine, in your personal studies, and doing so in your local assemblies, this is a great tool to hone your studies on, and so you won't stay off course. We know a lot of people strayed off the courses from what we believe today. And I know many of you probably thinking, how in the world could they do that? You're going to find out how they can do that. Because we're human, and if you don't stay who you are in Christ Jesus, the goat, as Brother Rick mentioned last night, you're going to have to see some things. I remember one time we asked Richard if he would reconsider doing the Roman study. Because of the video, you know, plaid suits, sneezing, messing with his hair and stuff, just joking. But the thing was, he told us it was the doctrine that is in the book of Romans doesn't change, and that's the main issue. And that's the issue. It's so true that the doctrine today doesn't change, and we as students of the Bible, should keep it that way. We don't have to change anything in that Bible. We just have to believe it and stand for it. So we was teaching through the book of Genesis, GSB style, back in our little church under the law. That's what we're called, Little Grace Church under the law. We meet in a police dispatch station. And I'll say it till we move out of there. We're probably one of the safest churches in America. You know, I'm thinking the glass is bulletproof, so, you know, we lock the doors and stuff like that. But some of the things that we talked about is volition, marriage, family, human government. And that's very important to understand and know. In Genesis chapter 3, we're looking at the fall of man. And Satan tells Eve, "Ye shall be as gods." And that made me think about a lot of things that's going on around us today. And to know that the God of this world is still active as he was in the garden. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him, male, female, created he them. And he told them, blessed them, right? He told them to multiply, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and so on. So here you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the us, making man in their image and his likeness. So God has formed man to have dominion, to be prophet, priest, and king in the earth of him. Out of all the creation that he created, here is the likeness of the glory of God of himself. The very first avatar, if you don't mind me saying, the God likeness was Adam. And then we come to chapter 3, there where the fall of man takes place. And I have said this, and you probably have said too, you can take the first three chapters of Genesis and the first three chapters of Romans and compare them and study them out, and you can find out why we are the way we are. And you, if you study them out, you can look at another human being, and you can find out why they are the way they are. So nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. Except that. But anyway, just joking. Who's avatar was that? Debbie's. Okay. All right. But you realize some things. Something interesting is that before Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and sea, what happens? Who shows up? Satan shows up. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, where the verse I was looking at, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good for evil," and the tree was good for food. And pleasant for the eyes, and to make one wise. And he took the fruit thereof. She took the fruit thereof, and it did eat, and gave unto her husband with her he did eat. You know what happens here? One, he questions the word. They question the word. "Yea, hath God said?" Did he say it? Yes, he said it. What did they do? Leave out freely. We may eat. "Ye shall not eat," he added, "lest we die." Water down. And then finally, ye shall not surely die. They deny the Word of God. So those attacks on the Word of God is still true today. Now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, ye shall be as gods. This is the first time the little g with O-D-S appears in your Bible. And it made me think about the message and with the studies Richard shared with us at school. And I'm going to quote some things from the school right now, okay, the transcripts. And in the school transcripts, what we've been taught, Satan implants a seed and desires to be supreme as God, to be independent. A desire to know something that they don't know. And he gives them a logical reason to do it. He's putting doubt in Eve's mind. He's saying, hey, you can be like some things. But is that going to help Adam and Eve with all that stuff going on? It doesn't. There's gods that she sees out there, the gods that are out there outside a garden, they're fallen. So what benefit would it be to follow a fallen god? Nothing spiritually or physically. You know why God created hell? What's that? For devils and angels. That's one of the reasons why he did this. And Adam and Eve was placed in the garden. They had everything that they could possibly need. And I believe also that Eve knew what the fallen gods were out there, what the fallen angels were like. On the outskirts of the garden, she could see everything that's going on out there because they were in the garden. They did not go outside that garden yet. They could not multiply yet. They had to be fruitful and multiply. But the outskirts of the garden, she could see everything that they could do. And remember what mankind, I think Rick brought this up last night. Who's made lower than angels? Mankind. So she could not do the things that they're seeing out there to be done. Could that not entice you to do things in a world that when you see other people do things, the sports figures and stuff? What happens in the next verse will set the course of this world and allow mankind to follow gods and become their own gods. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the trees to desire to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Good for food, it's pleasant for the eyes, to make desire to make one wise. That temptation is there. That temptation is real. And y'all know what 1 John 2, verse 15 talks about. Love not the world. What world is he talking about here? The green, green grass of home? It's talking about a system. It's talking about don't love that present evil world system that's set up out there in Genesis chapter 3, and it promotes the satanic policy of evil. There it is. Food, eyes, wise. And in verse 16 of John 2, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. Now that happens to make up a program called the course of this world. And that three category things. So Satan tempts Eve and she falls for that. Now, it makes one wise. It makes intelligence. It affects your spirit, your soul, and body. All three things. Now at this point right here, the battle between the Lord and Satan is on like Donkey Kong. I mean, it's going to happen. Satan tempts Eve in that threefold manner. Now, Satan will try to destroy everything that God's created from that point on. But God's got a plan, don't he? Genesis 3:15, if you know what he's done, he's going to put enmity there. And when you read Genesis 3:15, that's the gospel of God. That he's promised a redeemer to redeem mankind. We should be thankful for that. He's always had that. But we were talking about technology earlier. It's been said the oldest computer was owned by Adam and Eve. It was an Apple with very limited memory. Just one byte and everything crashed. So, technology-wise. Genesis chapter 5, as we continue right quick, Genesis chapter 5, the book of generations of Adam. Adam has an avatar in his own likeness and after his image. And then at the end of chapter 5, Noah comes along. I think somebody mentioned Noah the other night about the righteousness, that he was righteous. Yes. And in a world that God saw that the wickedness man was great on the earth, and every imagination thoughts of his heart was evil continually, he looked upon Noah as righteousness. He looked upon Noah as a preacher. He looked upon Noah as his likeness of God in this corrupt world. And out of all the people on the planet, 8 souls will survive. You know, I mentioned a little while ago about planting churches and stuff like that. We started in our home with our kids. And sometimes we grow in church, and sometimes we dwindle down to 8 souls. You know, that type of thing. I tell people, break out your pictures in your wallet. We'll preach to everybody. We've got a full house today, standing room only. That type of thing. But anyway, don't let numbers bother you. And it will as a preacher, if you let it. But you know what? There's people right here that, you know, you set the table, you can't make people eat, but the ones that are there, they're ready to eat. So you feed them. You feed them with the Word of God. Just quickly, you think about the giants on the earth. There was giants before the flood. There was giants after the flood. And they appear in the likeness of God, Creator, or something else. What do they look like? And they have heads. They have arms. They have legs. They have eyes. They have everything that God of the Bible has put in the likeness of man. But those gods are imitating someone else. Those giants, that type of thing. The avatar that I was going to put up, the Hindus, she has 10 hands. Okay? And each one of them is dealing with problems that you have. Well, who has hands? We have hands. God made us with hands. So when you get to chapter 10, those images and likeness of gods are here until the end of the world system. So when those fake gods or fallen gods, those avatars, have ministers and all that in this world. And when you get to chapter 10, Noah and the boys get off the ark. And I believe that they started doing exactly what God told them to do. And as far as commissioning them, divided the lands, after everyone after their tongues, and after their families and their nations. But from that point to the Tower of Babel is 150 years. Do you honestly think within 150 years you could corral everybody back and there'd be one tongue, one color, that type of thing? Yes, you can. And that's exactly what happens. And Satan convinced Nimrod, if you will, to convince mankind to come back together and not continue what God told them to do. Genesis chapter 11 comes along. You know what happens there. The whole earth, it was with one tongue and one speech. Verse 4 says, And they said, Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Is that what God told them to do? No, he told them to scatter, right? So at that point, if you know Romans chapter 1, verse 21, you can compare Romans 1 with Genesis chapter 11. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, Romans 1, 21. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds, and for four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who blessed them forever. When God gave them over, he gave them also over to their gods. It's bad enough being given up to yourself, but gave them up to the gods that were still out there. And some of the ones that had been there from Adam and Eve are still out there. So God the Creator becomes a God of one people. We're moving through the chart here. By the way, I saw this chart when they put it up the other night. I'm like, that's a new chart. That's a great chart. That's a doable chart. Instead of the 8-foot one you open up at your church like that. And Sherry says, you got two charts. And I said, yeah, but that's look. She goes, the information hasn't changed. You know, so I'm like, well, that's true. But anyway, I like new stuff. That's my downfall, so you don't have to forgive me. But anyway, he becomes a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says to Israel, is my son, my firstborn son. So here's an attack. And when he says that, the gods of this world are going to start concentrating on Israel. And he starts his thorn, his likeness in them. And they become a light of a God in this dark world. And God will use Moses. I know Ray, every time he sees me, last time he saw me, I had a beard like this. And he calls me Moses, and I call him Aaron. So he's my Aaron, and I'm his Moses. But I told him I'll try to grow it back before too long. But he talks to Moses, and he said, Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. And we know what he does. He gives them some signs. And he tells them that they may believe that the Lord, God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Now you know when they was down in Egypt, what was going on when they come out? Somebody brought this up the other day about the plagues. There's 10 plagues down there. That is 10 gods that Moses, the God, the Creator, attacked. And those 10 gods is what they put down. And many of you may know the plagues. I'm not going to go through them, but you got to think about that for a minute. But those gods have different names in different cultures. And Rome calls them one thing. Greek calls them another. Assyrians call them another. Babylon's calling them something else. But they're basically the same gods there that they dealt with. So Israel's under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And they take the nation towards the promised land. And the Lord wants to use Israel and use them as an image of the glory of God in this earth. Now, we know what's out there beside of them, the gods of this world, the fallen gods, created. But he tells them about, in Exodus chapter 19, about the particular, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Is that to you? When you do things that Israel's do, does that make you part of that program? I think Rick or somebody mentioned last night about peculiar. You're a peculiar people. I'm special. Special Ed. But anyway, so I'm trying to edify you this morning. But anyway, the thing is about this, the peculiar treasure, okay? But Exodus 20, if you think about it for a minute, he gives them some commandments. He says, Exodus 20, verses 1 through 6, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He knows what those gods are going to do out there. But you shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any grave images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, that is in water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. That's big. He knows what those gods out there. And from my understanding, when Israel came out of that, out of Egypt, it was just not Israel. Anybody that wanted to go could leave. And they're bringing their gods out there with them. So it caused a lot of problems. So God laid out the nation of Israel some guidelines to follow. God starts to dress them up. He starts to make them like a jewel in the earth and to be separated from anything else. Israel, the image of God out there. So the other nations, I think, Charlie mentioned this in Joshua chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but they knew by Joshua, when they came out there, the people in the world knew who Israel was and knew who their God they was following out there. They were scared of them. And so the things that these other nations have done, that's the image of God looking at Israel and saying, their God is more than any other God. So you have to remember, up to this point, the course of this world, under the direction of the God of this world, his avatars are still in effect out there. They haven't changed. The adversary has a stronghold in the earth, and he will try to stop Israel from being the image of God. And the God, as the God of the Bible, will use Israel as his figure. Satan has figures out there that will try to stop Israel and his image. So the God of the Bible and that Satan, the God of this world, will hinder the growth, will hinder what they're supposed to do. You know that through that process, Israel falls, don't they? And they fall. Israel falls politically in Daniel chapter 1 and Jeremiah in the times of the Gentiles under the king of Nebuchadnezzar. They fall politically through three kings, and you move forward, they fall. They no longer become the blessings of the world, blessings of the nations. So they don't have that political status there. And as we look at the chart, this top line represents the true Israelites, what they're supposed to be doing. But there also was an apostate one out there. So when they followed, what they did, if you don't mind me using this term, they started whoring around with other gods. They started fornicating with other gods, and that brought them down to that level, and God couldn't use them. So as you think about that, they're no longer the one nation, and everyone was fearful of, and of the blessing, the image of the world has been marred once again. The image of God has been marred. Meanwhile, Satan and his avatars are ruling the world system with men like Prince of Tyrus, King of Tyrus, King Nebuchadnezzar, and many, many more that will influence and control the world in trafficking, in merchandising, and money making will affect even today. That system is affecting us. You can look out there, I think Matt mentioned about a movie. That is real stuff, trafficking. And if you don't watch, you'll become slaves to that. You will. So God's son will not recover from the fall politically, and he will move forward. And soon they will fall spiritually, don't they? You know, when we get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the nation has been fornicating with other gods, and they're still under the control. But midway through that, the Lord takes that kingdom away from the apostate nation and gives it to the little flock, and his image and his likeness becomes them. God's represented in the world, the nation Israel. It was to be a light, the likeness of him. Has also rejected the spiritual aspects of God. John the Baptist, man sent from God. You know the story. He had a message, didn't he? A message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did they do to him? Cut his head off. Strike one. You know, I was going to kid around. You're in the ninth inning of the ball game today. You know, we're still head up. We're still 4-0. We're in this conference, so you're in the ninth inning, so hang in there. We still got a few more batters out here. But strike one. Then God the Father sent his son, and he had a message, the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. What did they do to him? They crucified him. Then God the Father sent the Holy Spirit with Apostle Stephen, and his message was the kingdom of heaven is what? It's offered. And what did they do him? Charlie mentioned they rocked him to sleep, but they stoned him. They gave him a party. And at that point, Israel had a chance to be restored, but they rejected it. And another note, if you think, be turning to Matthew chapter 4. These gods out there is much like what Brother Alex mentioned, the darkness. They're the same part of that. And in Matthew chapter 4, another note, you remember what happened in the garden, the start of the course of this world, and those three temptations. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he came, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember Genesis chapter 3? Remember 1 John chapter 2? The food. He's tempting them with food. The lust of the flesh. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him upon the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in His hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stones. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord God. The lust of the eyes. That course is still going on. Verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up on exceeding high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship thy Lord thy God, and only him thou shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered him. The pride, the wisdom. You know, Luke's account, that last thing he's saying, instead it's written, it is said. That's pretty powerful. But what I want to share with you that at this point was, everything that Satan got the first Adam and Eve to do, he's trying to do on the second Adam. And by the way, you know what the Lord did? Did He dispute him about that? I believe that if's a big word, probably shouldn't say that. Satan still controls the first and second heaven. He's the prince of power of the air. If the Lord bowed down to that, He would still be above them. You with me? But Lord didn't do that. We know that. But Israel had a renewed opportunity but in the first part of Acts. But we also know what happens through the rising of Apostle Paul, turned to Gentiles, gone. And Satan and his ministries at this time probably feeling pretty good about themselves, right? But the Lord, the glorified risen Lord, says a blasphemer, a prosecutor injuriously, to reveal something brand new. The Lord is going to create a new creature. He's going to create a head. He's going to be a head of a body. And the body is going to be the new avatar, if you will, the new godlike creature that is going to change the government systems of the universe. He is going to be that figure. He is going to be the goat. Okay, it's going to be about him, what he's doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12 says, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And he's talking about the body. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in... Thank you. Particularly. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and all things, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that he might have the preeminence. Thank you. I know y'all love me enough to... I have a hard time. I speak Southern Appalachian English, okay? All right? I did graduate, so... many of my forefathers went to eighth grade. But anyway, Thank God for words on a page that you can follow. You don't want Ed's version. But anyway, we are members of the body of Christ that is now representing the God likeness in this dark world. Okay? We are ambassadors, we are preachers, we are teachers, we are ministers. But make no mistake, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan has ministers. Satan has avatars. Satan has likenesses. And they're behind pulpits, many of them are. And many of you have been, to cast spells upon you to keep you there. Okay? And you became out of that darkness through the body of Christ, through what the Word of God says, and you don't believe that preacher no more. I was waiting for some people to say when I was misquoting this, and no preacher, right? That's what you say. No preacher, that's not what my Bible says. And what a difference when you do change that word. But Satan, chapter 11, verse 14, no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, there's no great things if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, who in shall be according to their works. They will imitate, they will try to duplicate everything that God is doing in the dispensation of grace. If the Lord God, ain't no if about it, God is in a mystery program today. God, the Bible, Satan's in a mystery program today. He's going to try to counterfeit what God is doing, but he's going to trick you into different things. And I'm not going to pick on the brothers up in Minnesota, but have you heard about that church that recited this? The Sparkle Creed? Have you heard that? Listen to this. Here's what they said in their church. I believe in a non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everything as a sibling child of God. And the church recites this. I believe in a rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of glorious diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous and creative and resilient as patches on a quilt, whose feet are grounded in the mud. They're going backwards, creation, right? In the mud, whose eyes glaze at the stars and wonder. I believe in the calling of each of us that love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe a glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen. These are things like that. You heard of PETA. You know, they sell in a vegan-friendly Bible, AI Bible, artificial intelligence, and rewrites where Abraham skips sacrificing Isaac. Good thing you didn't have a goat up here last night. Befriends the lamb instead. And they refer animals as beings rather than beasts or creatures. I know Matt mentioned about the LBGQ++ hashtags, spirit, ... SSS. But anyway, a chance. We're queer, we're here, we want your children. They said that in Washington, D.C. in the 80s. That ain't nothing new. But who are they following? They're following their avatars. They're following their gods. And you can find a Bible that will promote this doctrine anywhere. David did the other night. He showed some difference between Bibles. And he referenced, put them all on the table and start looking at them. You're going to have one eventually that God preserved. You can find a Bible for anything you believe out there. That should scare you. That should make you more Bible believers, not Bible packers, like we used to say, and be a dispensationalist so you know what to say to people. Satan and his gods are just as much as work today with the advanced technology. And it's accelerating more so than any other age of man. It really does. I know you've been talking about having tablets and you can't have, you need a book. We had a speaker one time mentioned that God's not in that tablet. He's in a book. And a whole row had tablets. I had phone calls, texts, 1 o'clock in the morning. Is God in that Bible? Is God in that tablet? Is God in I said, God's word should be in your heart, if anywhere, because this tablet will fail you. And you need a book. You really do need a book to follow. We are God likenesses today. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, be ye followers, it says, be ye imitators of me, right? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, an imitator and a follower is two different things. Could you imagine when Brother Richard asked for preachers, Lord, send me imitators. And could you imagine the 20 people that's been up here imitating Richard? God don't want that. He wants you to follow. And we have a pattern today, don't we? We have a pattern, 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners, who I am chief. Howbeit that for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth long suffering as a pattern to them who shall hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. We have a pattern today. We know who to follow today. Also, if you think about Ephesians chapter 6, I'm about ready to wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 6, we're also to stand against the wiles. We are in Christ Jesus today. He is the head. We have the mind of Christ to know what to do. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Hey, there's a battle out there. And it's thick. And it's going on. And with the technology we have in our pockets and in our arms and all that stuff is there. It's a constant reminder. And if this stuff fails, what are you going to do? You're going to have to be able to stand. And he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore in the liberty where Christ has set us free. We stand in there, having our loins girt with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. You're going to shine like God shines. You're going to stand there. You're going to be fully equipped as the verses keep going. And every dispensation, we're equipped today, and every dispensation, God of the Bible will always had and will always have people, let's say a few people, that will not follow these gods, even when their life depends on it. You know the three Hebrew men out there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they do when they heard, I heard Richard mention it, when you hear the trumpet and stuff down? You know what they're supposed to do, Nebuchadnezzar? They're supposed to fall down and worship that God. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now how many of you would stand in front of a king and said, we're not going to be careful to answer you. Now, Matt was talking about the context and be bold. You know, you never let that fail you. You have to be bold. You have to know where to stand. And you know, he said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, towards the end of Alex's message, he talked about D-Day, the biggest event in World War II, and how the war was ended. Before that, if you know the evacuation of Dunkirk, okay, the German army was forcing the British Army out there, and they were stuck in these at Dunkirk where the ships were. The German army stopped. Why? Who knows? But they stopped. General, that commander, sent a message to England across the channel, said, "But if not." Those three words. And what it was is, we're not going to bow down to Germans. If you can't come and save us, we're going to be here. So if you think about that for a second, our standing and our state in Christ, and His body and His God-likeness, His avatar, if you will, be not fooled that the temptations in the course of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and to be like gods are still out there. You and I here today can still be influenced by those three temptations. But we should remember those three words. But if not, we will not serve those gods. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for things You've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.